You know, you can honor the speaker by paying attention. Well, today's lesson is really anywhere from a 3-hour lesson to probably a 20-hour lesson. And so that says, you know, are we going to be here till midnight, or what are we going to do? So today's lesson is like a lesson I gave about a couple of years ago. And it's a lesson that I hope that you will see a little bit and go and start studying yourself. So today's lesson is only going to be as good as what you do this following week. And my job is to try to just... we are going to zero in on one point in these passages, but there's so many points to be learned. And John 14 through 16 is a very interesting place in the Scriptures, in Christ's life, and it's only covering a few hours, best I can tell. And but before we get started, we want to understand the situation, because I think whenever you understand the situation and then you start reading it from that perspective and from the perspective of what Christ could have been feeling at that time, I think it means a lot more. So chapter 13 is starting off with the Lord's Supper. So we're meeting. The disciples are there. They're having the Last Supper, and the Lord's Supper is going to be instituted at this time. And so he's telling his disciples in verse 2 and verse 21 and 30 that Judas is going to betray him. So he's sitting there knowing that later on tonight, one of his closest colleagues is going to betray him. And so in chapter 13, verses 2, as well as 21 through 30, that's the situation. Christ also takes this opportunity. Now think about tomorrow, you're going to be crucified. Tomorrow, you're going to be on the cross. You're going to be separated from your Heavenly Father. And in verses 5 through 20, you're going to teach your disciples about leadership by washing everyone's feet. Now think about what is his focus? Think about that. And then he's going to tell everyone that you need to love one another. And we talked about this last Sunday at the scene. We talked about you're supposed to love one another as I love you. That sacrificial love. Not to love someone as yourself, but to love one another with that sacrificial love. He's giving that. He's telling about his death in 37 through 38. That's the last part of that chapter. And so that's the context that we're in whenever we start in chapters 14 through 16. But 17 is the other bookend of these three chapters. And these three chapters are booked in with a prayer that is for all of us. It's for the apostles, it's for his church, and it's for us. And he's sitting and that's, I did a lesson on that, and I remember starting studying a while before. I just gave up and just said, hey, I'm going to introduce this chapter to you. You need to go study it. It's another chapter just full of many lessons and many teachings there. And so whenever you think about that's what's in between, that's what's on both ends of chapters 14 through 16. And so you see, and I kind of equate this, and I remember my feelings, and all I bet if all of us parents, if I talk to all the parents, but But it was when Heather was going to leave home. And all of a sudden, I had this realization of, I didn't teach her this, I didn't teach her this, I didn't teach her this. You know, she didn't even know where the tire tool was for the car to change the flat tire. You know, it was just all the things I didn't teach her. She survived anyway. But the point is I kind of get the feeling that Christ is here at the end, and he's going to realize, Christ knew, and that's one of the points I'm going to make, is Christ knew where the apostles were and understood that. But this prayer that he gives, you know, encompasses in what he's wanting the Father to do. So think about those things, and because we're not going to go through everything in these chapters. We're just going to hit a few highlights, because it's really for you to go back and to think about the context of these chapters and to meditate on that and to think about that this is what Christ is teaching. And I think it's very important that you think about that, because I don't think I'm going to be on my deathbed and I'm going to be asking Sandra's like, how much does our 401k have in it? I don't think I'm going to be doing that day. I don't think I'm going to be saying, hey, did you get the tires rotated on the car? You know, did Taylor reimburse us for, you know, for whatever? You know, these are all subjects that, you know, maybe these are subjects at our house, but the point is, I don't think that's what I'm going to be asking her. You know, and you think about if that's where Christ is at his life, what do you think, you know, what is he going to be thinking? Now, and so I think that's whenever you read these chapters, I think we can kind of look at that. So Christ starts off in chapter 14, and all these verses here in chapter 14. And y'all, excuse me, I'm going to have to go out of this. I got to change a different view because I have notes, and Jonathan did my presentation up for me, and he didn't put my notes in there, so I have to restart this thing. Yep, okay, it's up. Good. I had to get my notes up. Let's see. Yeah, there we're at the slide. All right, Christ. So this is Christ comforting his disciples, and that chapter 14 has a number of things there that I think that are comforting to them. And if you start off, Christ is going to prepare a place. And in verse 3, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Christ is fixing to go to die, but he's telling you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm bringing you with me. And which we all, you know, at this time, I don't think they understood everything. You know, and I think, you know, we read here where, you know, he and I didn't put this in here. That's what I'm saying. You're going to see where Peter is going to deny him three times before the rooster crows. But the whole point is, I don't think they understood everything. But we understand this. We have the whole scriptures. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6. Verse 6 in chapter 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In that one verse right there, we could spend a whole lesson teaching about error today. Because in our society today, we have people, it doesn't matter what you believe. You know, God loves us all. Well, that's not true. You're not going to be a Muslim and get to heaven. You know? And us Christians, we've kind of forgotten. Christ just said this. And remember, Islam did not come into play until hundreds of years after Christ. And there's been many times that I've interacted with people and they say, yeah, we believe you Christians and we believe Jesus is a prophet. And I've kind of said, and I was just kind of quiet. Today, I'm like, no. He's God's son. You're a false teacher. Christ just told us something here. He just told his apostles. There's only one way. We read that back in Acts. We read that in many places. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Christ. Don't you think that's an important thing that he's telling us at the end of his life? I think that's why this verse is there. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those words mean something. In our society today, we Christians sit back and we let people say things. Now, I don't think you need to take a stick. I don't think you need to, there's religions out there that if you speak, if you say they're false prophets, they feel their religion allows them to kill you. That's not what Christ would tell you. That's not. Our job is to spread the gospel and then walk away. Tell the truth and then move on. That's what Paul did. That's what we saw Paul do. He told the truth. He got stoned. Then he went on. I'd like to skip the stoning part. So anyway, you can camp on that passage for many hours there. So all religions are not equal. Christ makes that emphatic. There's no wiggle room in that passage in the way I read it and in the way I think Scripture should be interpreted. Christ and God are one. There are people today that do not believe Christ is God's Son, that He is God. And here in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen me. Now, throughout these three chapters, you're going to see Christ is going to articulate this message several different ways through that. And I didn't list all these verses, but the point is, God and Christ are one. They are the same. And I want you to think about the prayer recorded over Matthew, and I didn't write this down, but think about Christ praying in the garden, let this cup pass from me if it be your will. But here he's saying, we're one. And it's before, he's making this statement before he says, Lord, please let this cup pass from me. Now think about that. What is Christ's dedication to? It's to the will of his Father. And if you think about that, and you think about what Christ is feeling that night, but he's sitting here telling his apostles, this is, we are one. And I'm here to do God's will. We get a glimpse, two glimpses of love through these passages. And one is that we're supposed to love one another as Christ loved us. He sacrificed himself. The other one is in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have people today teaching that I don't have to follow all of God's commandments. His blood is going to save me. I agree that His blood is going to eventually save you. But if you truly love God, you're going to be following His commandments. And you're going to be looking and understanding what His commandments are. He tells us, He defines love. We can go back to 1 John and we can see this same idea being written there. And John's going to articulate that many times over there. And he's going to articulate our love for one another and that we're supposed to do that. So if you think about chapter 14 and what he's expressing here. And so if you move on, so this is an idea that I want to develop a little bit more. But The last slide was really about, there's a lot of different things in there, in that chapter, that you can just go through, because I just see, it's like, you know, it's the last hours of his life. And he's presenting, I think he's presenting things that are very important. So if this is the last part of his hours of his life, he understands where the apostles are. And remember, the apostles have been with him. They've been walking with him for 3 years. We see their missteps all the time in the Gospels and where they don't understand what Christ is teaching. And so to me, this is an important lesson here for us. Whenever we ask, do we have what we need to go to heaven? And I'm going to say we do. And I'm going to say, by faith, we can look at these three chapters and we can tell what Christ said the Holy Spirit was going to come and what he was going to do with the Holy Spirit was going to do in these chapters. And by the way, whenever we go through this, this is in the Church of Christ. So don't think this is X, Y, Z group out here that's saying what I'm fixing to say. This is error that's being taught in churches of Christ today. And that error is we need to follow what Jesus says, because that's what's important, not what the apostles say. That is being taught today. That is being taught today in churches of Christ, what we would say are brethren. And the reason I point this out is because if you take that point of view, what Christ says here in 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit is absolutely false. Okay? It's absolutely false. And I've had people in my family articulate that to me. And as soon as they got out of their mouth, I was like, well, that doesn't align with John 14, 15, 16. And so this is one thing I wanted you to kind of, I was going to kind of express to you, here's kind of truth that you can get out of this. So turn to John 14, verse 16. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And so he's saying here, let's go on that. There's some other verses. He understands where they are. In verse 18 of chapter 14, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he said, I'm not going to leave you with partial ideas. I'm going to come back. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to come back to you. And in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And so, whatever you read, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he's going to teach you most things. Only the things that I teach you. That's not what it says. It says he's going to teach you all things. Are there things that we learn from the epistles that we don't see in the Gospels? Absolutely yes. There are things there. All the concepts are in the Gospels, but there are things in the epistles that we learn details about. We learn some structure. I point this out. So here's one of the things. Where does Christ talk about elders and leadership of the church? He didn't. Paul teaches us that in 1 Timothy and Titus. We learn about that. But how did we learn about that? And it's because these verses here are telling us he's going to send a helper to teach all things, which is very appropriate at this time. Now, I want to take a little excursion here, and I want you to think about leadership. I want you to think about leadership in Christ. If you're going to be hung on a cross the next morning, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Well, I'm going to be saying, I don't deserve this. So this is Clay's thoughts. I don't deserve this. These people are totally wrong. How can they be doing this? I want to appeal my case to Caesar. I can't believe Judas. I have taken care of this guy. Let him hold the money back. I knew he was embezzling money. And the guy still betrayed me. These are all the things I'm worried about. These are all the things that I'm going to be talking about. Throw yours in there. But think about what you would be thinking about. But look what kind of leader Jesus is. Look what kind of love Jesus has for us. He's worried about us. He's worried about us. He's worried about the apostles having the correct doctrine. He's worried about, and if you go through these passages, whenever you go read, he's worried about what God's word is. What God's will is. And so think about that leadership. What leaders do, what true leadership is. And if you think about elders, if you think about what elders and you think about their qualifications, they're not thinking about themselves. That's part of their qualifications. They're thinking about the flock. And they're worried about the flock. And so whenever you think about Christ's leadership here, this is just a whole area. You can blow up these three chapters in many different facets. And that's kind of why I'm saying, I'm hoping I'm wetting your whistle a little bit, that you go off and read this several times this week and just think about it, because there's a perspective in your life. I think you'll learn something whenever you think about what Christ in these few hours between the Last Supper and the betrayal in the garden, what's happening here, and what he's teaching, and what his mindset could be. Chapter 15, we also see when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to testify about Christ, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is going to come and testify about Christ. They've walked with Christ, but he's going to give them a remembrance. Chapter 16, verse 17. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so we see Christ understands the big plan, right? Christ understands he's done his part. Somebody else has got to do their part. It's the Holy Spirit's got to do their part. We have to understand we all have parts and parcels that we do. I'll take a side excursion. I will echo what Reggie said. It was encouraging to see everybody work. Everybody had a will to work, as Nehemiah would say. Everyone had a will to work. People were asking, what can you do? I'm not quite sure when Keith was not working, because I helped Keith a few times, and I'm sore this morning. So all that dirt was spread by Keith, y'all, out there. But anyway, the little joke there, and I know Reggie was playing, but the point is, everybody had a will to work. Everybody had a part yesterday. Everybody played their part. So appreciate that. And we see the Holy Spirit coming to play their part. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, and notice the Spirit of truth, that's the second verse that uses that, he will guide you into all the truth. And notice it said all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He's going to teach all truth. And so today, if we see the New Testament. And if God, if Christ was teaching what God wanted to teach, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach all truth, then what Paul speaks, what Peter speaks, what John speaks, is all coming from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it's coming from God. And so you see how Christ is tying all of this together right before his death. And chapter 17. And so, in conclusion, what I wanted to emphasize to you is not that I covered everything. I did cover a little bit more on the Holy Spirit, and I kind of wanted to do that from the perspective, do we have enough to grow our faith and believe that Christ is the Son of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. I have that faith. I cannot read these passages here and not have that faith. Now, I might need to grow in that faith, but I believe that the Holy Spirit has given everything. And as you study and you go in depth, you see the beauty of God's Word, whether it's the New Testament or whether it's the Old Testament. What are the things? Two things I think I've concluded. God has given us His complete Word, and notice how Christ is concerned about our future. Christ gives that personal prayer in Matthew. And Christ didn't want to go to the cross. He did not want to go to the cross. But he wanted to do God's will more than he wanted to do his. And so therefore he went. And the point is, these kind of passages here between these three chapters, I think, hold a lot of value whenever you sit there and you start thinking about, oh, wow. This, we would call this last will and testament, maybe. This is somebody laying on a gurney and expressing this is what's important in life. And I think we can read that these chapters from this perspective. So that's the lesson that I wanted to share with you today. Is that there's a lot in the Scriptures for us to meditate on. And whenever we put the bookends there, we understand it. And that Jesus cared enough about us that even in His death, He was wanting for us He was not looking at Himself. He was looking that we had the Holy Spirit, that we had the truth, we had God's Word. And we understand that. And we understand, and there's just so much in those passages whenever we understand where Christ is at that time. I want to relate a story. I think it fits a little bit. It's a sad story. And to me, it just kind of, how can we grow our faith? Every one of us are dealt cards, and I haven't been dealt these cards in my life yet. I will be dealt this card in my life. But there's a preacher in my past. That was a good preacher. His name was Kent Heaton, and nothing special about Kent. Trenton. So some of our brethren here have relatives down in Trenton area. And so Kent had preached in Trenton for many years. He left that congregation. His son took over. His son was named Everett. I think just a few months ago, Everett found out he had brain cancer. Everett died Friday. He was 40. He has four children. And so you can kind of just imagine the age of the children and everything. I don't know Everett that well. I knew Everett, but Everett was young. Everett would have been 20 years younger than me. But Everett's, my understanding is Everett actually, he was in hospice, and he asked to be taken to church Wednesday night so he could preach one more sermon. And I thought to myself, you know, that's kind of Christ-like. And that's what we're supposed to be. So I tell that story to say, not about Everett, and Everett and Kent, I don't know Everett, but I know Kent. It's not about them. It's about Christ. But do we live our life where our last words are going to be about Christ? Or is it going to be about us? That's the faith we're supposed to have. So anyway, there's a real life story. It happened this week. He actually died, I think, Friday. I think his last thoughts, I'm assuming, was more towards Christ. If there's anyone here needs to obey the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Days are filled with
sorrow and care. Hearts are long.